into the scriptures about our oneness and our unity. And so let's take a moment. We have time. We have time this morning. Let's go ahead and greet one another this morning. Let's get up, say good morning, give each other a hug, these people that we are in unity with, okay? Let's go ahead and do that. Okay, let's go ahead and find our seats. Let's work our way back to our seats. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good to welcome one another and just embrace each other. We're going to talk about unity today. I mentioned that. And so it's going to kind of come out in the idea of why we are the way we are and why we're together. It's the Lord's work. I want to share a couple of things about today's teaching from God's Word before we start. One, that I decided to not do the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 through 7. That's what was up next. We finished last week, the end of 4. The main reason being that next Sunday is our annual meeting, and we really don't preach a message that Sunday. It's more of an encouragement. It's going to be about gratitude and thankful for each other. And so that would have sort of interrupted the flow. And in my heart as a teaching pastor, you know, I'm always moving from one thing to the next, and in my mind seeing all the connections. That meant it would have been difficult for us to hear the overview of this amazing sermon that we're going to be looking at. And then not start to get into it for 2 weeks. It's like, let me give you this amazing overview of the Sermon on the Mount, but you know what, you guys got to wait 14 days before you hear anything about it. I just, you know, that just didn't sit with my heart right, so I chose a topical message this morning for oneness or unity of the church family. Two reasons I made that choice. Unity is the teaching of those ladies that are in the spiritual mothering ministry. That's what's going on right now. Chapter 9 and 10, they're either coming into it or in it right now from their book, Unmet Expectations. So they're in this topic of unity, and because, here's the other thing that God put on my heart, because of the foundational unity of this church family being so healthy. It's not an issue in a sense or a problem or anything like that. It's healthy, and so what I wanted to do was point to the scriptures on why our oneness is like the way God has brought it to our lives. Why is it healthy? So we can identify what God's doing and the way he does that in our lives. And so it's always good to know. It's like if you were a parent and God was working and ministering in your kids' lives and you know, you're sharing stuff and you're wanting to recognize why. How's this going, you know, because of the truth of his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, these kind of things. Because you want to join in with what God's doing. And so the meat of our message this morning will come from the book of Ephesians, and I want to set up a few things before we get there, but let me have you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. That's going to be the meat of what we're going to look at today as we point to the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4. Go ahead and grab your outlines, and if you look at your outline, I'm going to go through this a lot. I'm going to point to it a lot. It has a lot written in here of some of the main truths. Instead of doing the exposition of all of this, I'm just bringing up the truths of Scripture that really talked about our unity and our oneness. And so I wrote it in there as we would go through there. But so let me encourage you to go ahead and pull that out. We'll see. There's a lot of detailed information in it. But what Ray had read to us this morning from John's chapter 17, where God the Son is praying to God the Father about us, and he's praying about the Lord's church in verse 20 through 23, and Ray read that, but let me read it to you again. He said this, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. He's praying for the disciples that are right with him and the church, and the body of Christ. It's not really body of Christ yet or church yet. He hasn't died and been raised again, resurrected life, any of that. This is the beginning of all of this, so he's praying for those disciples that are there. It applies to us, but he makes a specific thing here. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's you. 33 AD, Jesus standing before the Father, or not standing before the Father, but in the presence of the Father, praying for what's going to happen in the world through the gospel going forth, through all this happening in this life, and he's praying for you. That's incredible, don't you think? He knows the future. He knows what's coming. He's wanting to lift them up and pray for us. And he says that they, that's us, may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Incredible. As God the Son concludes his prayer with God the Father, the unity of his followers in the future is on the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's on the heart of God. You heard it from those verses, and in this text we see the root to all our true unity. The root to our true oneness is that the Christian unity prayed for is not an outward organizational unity. That's not what it is. But it's an inward spiritual unity based on a believer's life in Christ, one with him. That's the unity he's talking about. Because of our union with Christ, all believers are one with each other as well as they were one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So all Christians, all believers in Christ are spiritually united to one another and to Christ by regeneration, by the Holy Spirit's power for you to be born again, for you to have new life. You are one with each one with another because of the creative power of God to bring new life into your life. And he made us one with one another as we made us one with Christ. It's got nothing to do with organizational stuff here. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what we're looking at. We're united by regeneration, the new birth, new self, new life. And as Romans 12:5 tells us, we are one body of Christ and individually members one of another. Paul said in Colossians 1:18, he said this, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That's what God's doing, Christ to have first place in everything. So when Jesus prays for us to be perfected and matured, that's what that is, in unity, it's not about our external unity, really. It's really about that. Our eternal unity is complete. It is from God by the work of the Holy Spirit. Internal, get these words, internal unity. We are one with Christ, one with one another. But our external unity, the way we live in oneness, the way it lives out, fleshes its way out, is being matured as Christ comes to have first place in everything in our life. You guys know that to be true. Now, husband and wife, as Christ becomes first place in your life, you guys just see the oneness of your two together. You're one in Christ as a Christian marries, and then God says in marriage, he made you one. But so biblically from the word of God, you are one. You are one with one another. You are one with Christ. There's an internal unity that you have from the power of God, but the external expression of that internal unity grows and matures as you focus your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This is what we're looking at. This is what we're going to be talking about. Martin Lloyd-Jones speaking on this internal oneness. I put it in your outline. Here's the quote. He says this, "This Christian unity is compared to the unity found in a flower or a tree. It's for a creative unity, in other words. It is something essential, essentially organic and vital. It's a new birth, not something artificially produced. It is something which is inevitable because it's of its very nature. It's not external, but an internal unity. We do not start with that which is external and then hope to arrive in the internal. We start with the internal oneness and unity that we have in Christ, that we've given by the power of God, and then proceed to express it externally. You guys get that? That's profound. This is really good. This is what's going on in the body of Christ. This is what goes on in church. This is what's happening here. God in our salvation gave us a unity, a oneness in our union with Christ. We seek to express our unity in the way of our relationships and lives. That's us. Joni Erickson Tada said it this way, really simple. She says something, think simply. Believers are never told to become one. We are already one. We are expected to act like it. And so it's such an important thing that we're going to be looking at here. So that is really the foundational truth to the life and the unity of this church family. Internally, it is our very nature. And we are seeking to have the Lord Jesus to have first place in our lives, in the way of our lives, in the way that we live, which teaches us and leads us to externally express our oneness, our unity. And it's visible. We can see it. We can experience it. We still got to work in our lives, but it's evident. And so we're pointing to this body of Christ, this church, because of God's work in the truths that I just brought out here. We're going to get a little more depth into them. So we have this internal oneness that we have in Christ, oneness with one another. And then, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, you know, we're trying to proceed to express it externally, this oneness that we have. Now, as we look at the scriptures to gain a greater understanding of this, look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to breeze through this. I'm not going to do an exposition of all of these kind of things. I'm going to point to some things and say, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is what it is, this is what it is. We want to move through this, capture the whole idea of this together through scripture, and really bless our lives by it. But look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, where the main point is that we are to be guarding the unity already given. You know what that means? The internal unity that we've been given, our oneness in Christ and oneness with each other, can be harmed. It can be harmed. That's why we have to guard it. Or we have to preserve it, as the verse there says. But guard it's probably a better translation of that. We guard it. It can be harmed by the way we live life externally. Okay, so look with me. Look at our text, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, Paul writes, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. We're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You heard it in the text right there. You saw it there. The unity of the Spirit is the internal oneness we have by the work of the Holy Spirit, of regeneration, born again, new life, which our life is in union with Christ. Even though our unity is because of the very nature of this new life that we have in Christ, we need to be diligently guarding it, preserving it, protecting it. It's in the text, right? You see it right there. We're not creating it in a sense. That's what we need to see. The church gets together and says, oh, to create unity, create oneness. No, live the oneness that we have in Christ, the oneness we have with the Lord, the oneness we have with each other. Express that oneness out in your life, and you guys will be unified. The enemy gets in and says it's an outside thing that we do, and we just need to, you know, accept everybody and in all the differences of everything, and so we can be in unity. That's really not preserving the unity and the oneness that we have in Christ. Verse 4 through 6 says this: there's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Obviously, there's one eternal unity of the Spirit that we are to protect. There's not two. The Holy Spirit isn't divided, never would be. We're to preserve the oneness that we have in Christ, the oneness that we have in each other. From our text, it teaches us and points us to the ways that we do that. Let's get real practical. How do we do that then? How do we guard it, protect it, preserve it? First, we walk together in unity of truth. That's what we do. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 1 again. Look what it says. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you and you all. Okay, this is in the plural, right? It's just not individually. You all to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you all have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ and God, drawing yourself to him. All of that kind of stuff, which he taught in chapters 1 through 3. He taught all the truth of it. He taught all the truths of your calling and you've been called and what God did in your salvation, the grace lavished upon you. He taught everything that God has done to save you, to rescue you, to deliver you, to include you in the household of God and the body of Christ. All the things he said. Now live, you guys together, walk together in a manner worthy of that truth. That's what he's saying. In chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, that pushes you all the way back to the third verse in chapter 1. Therefore, all these truths, it's just like in Romans chapter 12 or in verse 1, it says, now by the mercies of God, that pushes you all the way back to chapter 3 of Romans 3 in the language and the way grammar works. So it pushes us all the way back to the first three chapters of Ephesians, where the truth of our calling is taught. So we walk together in the truth of our calling, the truth of our salvation, the truth of what God says he has done in our lives. So let's turn there. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let's start. I'm just going to browse through it. Like I said, it's in your outline. I wrote each one of them out. I'm not going to read all the verses. But our eternal oneness is based on the truth of our salvation. You would agree with that, right? Our internal, this inside, this oneness with Christ and oneness with each other is going to be the basis of the truth of it, right? Of what God says the truth. The truth is, in fact, the basis for our unity. And as we walk in a manner worthy of the truth, our external unity matures. You will see this as we cover the truth of all this. Look with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at your outline also. In and because of God's grace in our salvation, Paul states, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's for every believer in Christ. That's the body of Christ. That's our oneness. That's our unity. That's the truth of your salvation. We're to walk together in the unity of the truth. So God has blessed us with his spiritual blessings. We have them all. Every single one of them, they became ours in Christ. That's what they are. It reminds me of 2 Peter, what's the verse? I didn't write it down. Chapter 1, verse 3, isn't it? Yeah. By God's divine power, he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. All of us have that. That's what he's talking about here. The origin of the blessings that you have are from God. That's what spiritual means here. The origin are from him. Every believer, every Christian, our unity is you have been granted by God, already given by God, by divine power, everything pertaining to live this life and this life in the godliness in a Christ-like growing way. You have everything. How many places try to teach that there's some other thing that you got to go get and find and do? No, in your new life in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, born again, regenerated, made new, you have everything that you need. You have God, you have the truth of his word, you have the Holy Spirit God in your life, you have all of it. We're one in that. We're one in that. Ephesians verses chapter 1 through 4 through 6 tells us we are God's chosen people according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace. It's a foundational truth to our oneness. Verse 7 and 8 tells us, it's in your outline, then we have been redeemed and forgiven according to the grace lavished upon us. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, according to God's kind intentions, he made known to you, to us, to me, to all of us, the mystery of his will, our salvation. Think about that with me for a moment. Think about what it just said. We are one in this. God is the one who revealed the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. He redeemed you, and he forgave you through Christ's atoning work. He chose you and predestined you to become the children of God through Jesus Christ, giving and granting us everything, everyone, every believer, the need, what he needs to have a life and a life to live godly. This is by according to his kind intentions toward us, which is his grace lavished upon us. That's what that just said. That's our oneness. Mess with that, you're messing with the oneness of the body of Christ. Say it's something else. Say it's not that. Say it's this. See, that's why Paul appeals to it here, and the unity of the Spirit, this is the unity that we have, and the oneness that we have in Christ, is what I just read. This is what God did. Carrying on, look at verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1. This is incredible, just a profound two verses. It says this, in him, that's Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now remember, listening to the message of the truth, God just told you, hey, he's the one by his kind intentions that revealed the truth to you. Apart from him revealing the truth to you, you can't see the truth. That's what the word of God says. So he says, so after listening to it and God piercing your heart with the truth of the gospel, right? Having also believed, that's the faith that God brings through piercing your heart with the truth, you are sealed in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. That's an amazing two verses. But we are sealed as God's own possession by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't get out of it. It's our oneness. It's our unity. It's how we're one in Christ, one in one another. Your sin, my sin, you're struggling. No, you're not getting out of the Holy Spirit. You're sealed in Christ. You can't get out of him. We have to deal with the things that are in our life. We don't have to search after how do we get back in him. Because we have a oneness. Verses 22 and 23 says this. It says, same chapter, Jesus is the head over his church, and we are his body, the fullness of him who fills our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, incredible passage where we learn and understand from God's word that all of us were dead in our trespasses and sins, but through God's mercy, love, grace, we have been saved. We have been made alive in Christ. That's a new life that we have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 tells us that we are fellow citizens and are of God's household and are being built together in Christ. Ephesians 3, 6 tells us that we are fellow heirs, fellow partakers of the promises that are in Christ. Ephesians 3, 17 through 21 says that we are all rooted and grounded in the Lord's love with the power of God at work in our lives, sanctifying us, sustaining us. You see why I pointed to all that? That's the oneness that we have. This is the truth of God's word, the oneness that we have. And it gets expressed in our life. Wait a minute. We have everything we need to live for the Lord. We have everything. We have the Holy Spirit sealed us. We have God's work going on in our lives. We have the truth of God piercing our hearts with the truth. It's all according to his kind intentions toward us, toward the grace and love and mercy expressed toward us. We have the promises of God, right? We stand in the love of the Lord. We're trying to learn how much God loves us, and as we do that, we grow. We're all one in this. We're all unified in this. We're all the same. It's all at the foot of the cross. It's all by the grace of God. And there's no big me's or little you's. There's just people that have been saved, rescued, redeemed, brought into the kingdom of God that belong or God's own possession. You see why I'm going here and why it's important? Because that unity fleshed out becomes the body of Christ that reflects the Lord's glory most, in a sense, if you want to put it that way. We're to guard that. We're to preserve that. Our eternal unity is on the basis of the truth of God's word concerning us. Joseph Stolwell, let me read this to you. This is a really good quote. It says this about the unity of our truth. As important as unity is, he says, it's not the most important value. Jesus Christ taught that the truth that transcends unity is a priority. It is critical to recall that in Christ's highest priestly prayer, before he prayed that we would be one internally, right? By being one in Christ, he prayed that we would be set apart in the truth, John 17, 17. From God's point of view, truth is in fact the basis for unity. The Bible does not know a unity that is just for unity's sake. Authentic Christianity unity is unity forged in a common cause, a common conviction, a common interest, a common work of salvation according to the truth of God's word. Biblical unity is forged in our mutual bondedness to the truth of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. When we embrace that truth, we are free to embrace one another in that truth. End quote. Doesn't that bring great clarity what I'm talking about? This is so amazing because this is us. This is what God is doing, and all we're doing is just following the Lord. All we're doing is just embracing the oneness that God has given us and believing the truth about God's word and standing upon it. Now, we have differences and discussions and all that kind of stuff. That's not what it is. It's we understand God's word, God's truth, about how the oneness of the body of Christ and what salvation is about and what God has brought into our life and what we're to be living for and those kind of things. And then as we stand together in that, it gets expressed out of our life, that oneness that we have, which really brings us the completeness, the maturity, the perfection that Christ prayed for. It's John 17, 23. Of course, that's the way he set it up. Of course, if we follow God, he brings about what he prays for. He even brings it about when we're not following him. Sometimes it's kicking and screaming, right? Is this hitting home with you? Let me move along real quickly here. When we don't guard the truth of God's word concerning our salvation and who we are in Christ and the Holy Spirit's role in that, we harm the basis of our true internal unity. And that would be the enemy's ploy and what he does in the body of Christ and in the church. Look at verse 4, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1 again. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Therefore, walk, live in a manner worthy of God's calling. That expresses our unity. Walk in a manner worthy, live it. That expresses the inward unity by the outward expression. How do we do that? Let's look at Ephesians first. Look at verse 17 of chapter 4. Look at verse 17 of chapter 4. How do we express it? How does it, an external, as I read it from, you know, the quotes, and they said, how do we proceed to express it externally, this inward oneness? Verse 17, so I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of your mind. Let me help you with that. Christian, believer in Christ, you hear about part of this body of Christ, you know you're harming the oneness that God has given us in Christ and the oneness that we have with one another when you choose that, you know, I can live any way I want to. You know, it's my relationship with the Lord. I can just live the way I want with the Lord. I can walk like the world walks, futility of their mind, ignorance in their thinking. I can walk just like the world as a believer in Christ. God loves me. God cares about me. He certainly does. He saved you and all that. But you're more concerned about your fleshly rights than God's internal unity and oneness in Christ that he's given us to maintain, to guard. Is that true? Ouch. But see, as the body of Christ, see, we got to help each other with that. But see, that's why I'm pointing to it, because see, God's at work in all of our lives, and that happens all the time here, and we get appealed by the Holy Spirit and the truth of his word that, you know, yeah, that's true. You have the right to make your own choices, and you have before the Lord, and you have the freedom. But God's word says you harm the unity of his church when you walk like the world walks. Nobody's going to throw stones or be against you or anything. We're going to try to embrace you, and we're going to try to work in our lives because we want to maintain, we want to guard what God is doing in the world. And you remember what he said in John 17. So the world will know that Jesus is Jesus, which is why we're here. How else do we do this externally? We proceed to express it externally. Look at verse 22 through 24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on your new self, which is created in the likeness of God. Stop there. So all of us here, that's what we embrace. You know what? That's the old life. We're trying to put that one off. It's flesh. It's Darth Vader. Should I go get him? He's right on the other side of that door. I look at him every day. He stares at me, and I said, you can't have me, right? He is. I should go get him right now, because he is right there. I think I will. Just for the effect, you know, because that's the old life. That's the old kin. You got one. Unless it's the only one you got and you don't have any new life, then that's who you are. How you doing, Darth? See, he's right here. He's always looking at me. He's just sitting in the corner. He's just looking at me saying, come on, let me lead your life, Ken. Come on. I want to go this way. But see, that's not the life we want to embrace. That's the old self. I got to renew my mind. I got to get the mind of the Lord. I got to get the word of God. That's what God wants me to do, and I got to lay aside the old self. But there's a new self that I can walk in. There's a new one that loves God, that loves you, that loves his word, that loves the lost, that loves sacrificing and giving of their self, that loves to serve the Lord, that loves to just give his life or her life for the things of God. There's that I want to put on. That's what we do here. Look at verse 31, chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, and all malice, 32, but be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you, and be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Did you hear what he said? Can you see this is the life of this Lord's church, this church, the life of this church? That's what we do. In expression of our oneness with Christ, our unity with each other, we choose to lay aside and put away things. I can't be angry. You can't be angry. We're not going to be bitter. We're not going to slander. We do it. We ask for forgiveness. We repent and change. But it's an outward expression of the inward unity. We just deal with those things just because we know who we are in Christ. This is hitting home, isn't it, guys? This is God at work in our life. This is what he does. It's not about what you think of me. And if I had bitterness against you or weren't kind, you would think that I wasn't somebody of this or that. No, it's because I know you, you know me, and we got oneness in Christ. We love each other. We want God's work, right? Right, guys? The boys, they love me. Like Pastor Ken preached to us again today. I love them too. But we love each other. You see what I'm getting to here? It's in his word. It's right here. It's not an external unity. Let's just be this way. It comes from the internal oneness that we have, that we want to promote it. We want to be being kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in his Christ has forgiven me and you. Because God says that's how you guard the oneness that we have in Christ. And that's how you exalt the Christ that made you one. Amen. Yay. Praise God. Let's go for it. Chapter 5, verse 8 says we're to walk as children of light. Chapter 5, verse 15, 16, we're to be careful how we walk, and walk in wisdom. We do this together in unity as an expression of our oneness, our unity with each other. Go back to chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. This is really, we're to be diligent to preserve this unity. This is really an expression, all that I went to, of just these two verses here, an expansion of it. It says this, we're to walk together worthy, in a worthy manner of the truth of our calling and the oneness we have. That's why I did that. And with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We walk together in all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance in the bond of peace, which is choosing to love each other as an expression of our inner oneness that we have in Christ. Not trying to get brownie points from God. Not even in a sense, you know, if we live that way, we'll get blessed. Obviously, we'll get blessed. Our life's the one in Christ. All spiritual blessings are mine. You can't take them. And they're yours. He's over our life, in charge of our life, dictating our life. Yes, the consequences of sin are the consequences of sin, but God is over this. Christ is over this, the sovereign hand of God. And if we don't walk that way, we harm the oneness that God has given us. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Let me just kind of give you a couple of more things here just to be encouraged. And all of us are being that. I know that in my heart, and just with the truth here, we're identifying. Maybe you didn't know in your life before that when you were living for the Lord and serving and just, you know, reaching out to one another and doing that kind of thing, it was this inward oneness that God has given us with Christ. It's in union with Christ. And it's in union with each other. And you just didn't know it was that, but you knew it was kind of there. And now you're understanding what God is doing is helping you live the life to guard Christ and his church. And you got to be a part of this thing just by following the Lord and choosing to love him over yourself, those kind of things, and lay aside the old self and not walk in that guy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Here's a few more externally expressed unities, think oneness that we live in to guard the oneness that we have in Christ and the oneness we have with each other. Listen to the Apostle Paul, verse 27, Philippians 1. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents. I've talked on this before, but we have opponents. We have opponents to us. We have opponents to us standing firm together in our spirit, in our souls, working as a team for the faith of the gospel. There's opponents to it. My biggest one is propped in the corner over there. He's my flesh. The one I have to lay down, the one I have to put off, the one I have to not listen to. But there's opponents in the world. There's a whole system of this. Satan is against it. The world system's against it. False teaching's against it. But it's an outward, hey, wait a minute. We're working together as a team. That's what we're doing here. We're working together as a team. Dads, teach this in your home, that we want to honor Christ. There's a oneness we have in Christ. We're praying for you to believe in the Lord. And you know, through salvation, your life becomes in union with Christ, one with Christ, but it becomes one with all other Christians. And the whole goal of God in the church as they come to faith is for them to work together for a goal that God has, striving together, one soul, one spirit, for the faith, for believing, for trusting the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's twofold, salvation, sanctification. It's just what it is. It's the gospel. It's the truth of the church. And that's happening here. Because we understand the oneness that we have in Christ. We understand the internal thing that God has done through our salvation. We protect those truths, stand on those truths, we live them. We know there's an enemy that seeks to harm our oneness. Look at chapter 2, verse 2, just carrying on a little bit more. And I called this is Holy Spirit driven. Paul writes in Philippians 2, 2, he says this, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And I wrote it Holy Spirit driven because in our heart and mind, we need to understand this is not an external kind of thing that we make us to have the same mind and for us to maintain the same love. This is not a human thing, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. They come from the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, by the truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit isn't divided. And all these that are one in Christ and one with another are going to make a choice that we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to follow Christ, we're going to follow His truth, we're going to be of the same mind. Now, that doesn't mean we all like Taco Bell and get tacos and we don't stay away from burritos. And that just ruined somebody's life this morning. No, it's not that. It's the same mind about the things of God, the same mind about what God is doing, the same mind about what our point here is, the same mind about God's truth. It's the unified mind. I don't have too long to explain it, but maintaining the same love. Did you hear what he said there? The Holy Spirit drives us through the Holy Spirit and the truth of His word. He unites us to be of the same mind about the truth, to maintain Christ's love for each other. That's what He does in our life, to be united and intent on one purpose, to live and be Christians for the honor and glory of God. And we are to be humbly together, united in learning that way of life. Look at the next three verses after in chapter 2. Listen to what he says next. There's such a key to this in our humility and in being humble. He says this, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others, having this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. I need to ask you, can you see that if we are expressing our unity from our inward unity, expressing it outwardly by having a Christ-like attitude of humility being lived out, can you see how it guards our eternal oneness in Christ? That's what God wants to do. I need to consider you as more important to me and care about the things you got going and live in a life of humility like Christ did. But in also that the Holy Spirit is working on us in a unified heart, mind, purpose, intent. And that we understand that there's a purpose here striving together for the faith, the trust, the belief, and the good news of Jesus Christ and what it looks like to walk in it. You see where I'm connecting all of this? This church family seeks diligently to live this way together, to guard what God has done in our life. Anybody in the room want the enemy to mess up what God has done in our life? Paul wrote to Timothy, I know whom I believed in, and I'm convinced he's able to guard what he's entrusted to me. So are we. We're going to follow him to guard it. Got a few more other things in there, but I want to close with this. Can you turn your Bibles to Psalm 133 with me? The last one was, it's the pursuit is the same from Philippians chapter 3. We all know the pursuit, like Paul did. He kept going after it. We all pursue to be Christ-like. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 133 with me for a final thought. For me, this, as I went through this and studied this and identified it and thought about you and thought about what God's doing here, just such an encouragement. Now, we're all in a journey together, okay? And if you want to put it as a mountain, we're all kind of just like scattered around, just a few feet up, just trying to get up, and Christ is on the top. But, you know, we're climbing, amen? And it's the work of God that we climb and all that, and just thank the Lord that he's at work in our life. But I want you to look at Psalm 133 with me, and I'm going to close with this. 13 years ago, Pastor Tom moved out here from Indiana, and he joined our elder group. He had the elders study Psalm 133. was early in it. He just said, hey, we're going to study this. I want to study Psalm 133. I want you guys to memorize it. We're like, who's this guy think he is? Just got here, you know, that kind of thing. And no, it was on his heart. He had, you know, conviction. And, you know, and the truth of the matter is we have doctrinal unity here. You know, Tom comes, and we got the unity of purpose for the church. From God's word, we have unity in the philosophy of ministry, why we do what we do. We have a lot of unity, a lot of oneness, you know, in the truth of God's word, all of that. We're not really not unified, but Tom challenged us to seek and address any area where we might grow in unity together. Wisdom of a man that's done something for 47 years, knowing what's important for the church and for the body of Christ. The psalm says, behold how good it is. And how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. You can see the visual. It looks pretty good, doesn't it? It's amazing what it says here. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forever. Tom shared with us and said, in strong oneness and strong unity, the Lord commands the blessings of life. We all took it to heart. A couple of guys have added since then, but they've been shared with this, and that day we all grew and matured in our oneness. The elders at Living Word Fellowship are one in leading the Lord's church. It's not a human work. We can never and make it a human work. We have our differences, we have our uniques, we have our personalities and all the things that as humans have, but our heart is to protect the oneness that we have in Christ and the oneness we have with one another, because it's the Lord's church, not ours, and he's brought us one, and we know God has used that to impact our external expression of oneness in this church family. That's what he does. Have we arrived as the Lord's church? Well, no. I don't want to disappoint you, but no. But we are all aware, it's evident, that God is at work in growing our external oneness based upon the oneness that we have in Christ. Amen? And we'll continue to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and just for the encouragement of your word. And I know it was quick and a lot of verses, and I don't want to dishonor the truth of your word and an exposition of it, but Lord, it's just really clear through Ephesians and even through Philippians, just what you're doing in the body of Christ. And we have differences. Help us to love and care for each other and the differences, and we have things that we need to talk about. It's not, it's always a work. There's no if it's by his kind intentions toward us, according to the grace and love and mercy that he's lavished upon us. We want that to be the way we live our life, in kind intentions, giving grace, mercy, love, in through all of the things, because you are at work. We trust you. It's not, we're not in control of this. We trust you. We want to follow you. Minister to each one of us here. Everyone here wants the oneness that you have for us. All of us are in a journey in different ways and different places on the externalness of it being expressed, but everyone that's saved has it. And we're just so grateful and thankful, Lord. And Lord, help us just this day to be an encouragement to the people around us, to listen well, to think deeply about those that are in our lives, love those in front of us as best we can. And be a living testimony of the salvation found in Christ. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Have a great day.